This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. And now to more of our continuing coverage of the political situation in Puerto Rico. On Friday night, Pedro Pierluisi was sworn in as the new governor of Puerto Rico. But so far, the transition of power has been rocky. And with immediate legal challenges expected, the island could be facing a constitutional crisis. We're joined now by Michael Dybert, a reporter for Bloomberg, covering the political situation in San Juan, and Yarimar Bonilla, professor of Puerto Rican Studies and Anthropology at Hunter College and the Graduate Center of the City University of New York. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Michael, it's been a confusing couple of days. The transition of power after Rosselló has been rocky. Tell us where things stand right now.
Yeah, well, for a brief recap, I mean, essentially, Ricardo Rosselló, who's the former governor of Puerto Rico, was forced out after about a month of big street protests against his rule. That just didn't, in my experience talking to the demonstrators, focus on him personally, but a whole range of grievances that people on the island had, specifically, a federal oversight board that controls Puerto Rico's finances, and what they see as a lack of accountability and a lack of transparency among the political class in general here, I would say. And in response to that, basically through closed-door negotiations with very little, well, actually no participation of the sectors that ousted Rosselló chose Pedro Pierluisi to succeed him as an interim governor. And he was approved by the lower house of the legislature here. There was no vote by the upper house, by the Senate. And he assumed his role on Friday and told a room full of journalists, of which I was one, that if the Senate didn't approve him this week, that the job would pass to the Secretary of Justice, Wanda Vasquez. Yesterday, he walked that back considerably, and now he's being, there are injunctions filed against him by both the city of San Juan and also by the Senate itself, which is ironically controlled by the party of which both he and Rosselló are a member.
Yarimar, is Puerto Rico in a constitutional crisis right now? And if so, when will that officially happen?
Well, the one jurist here in Puerto Rico said recently that we've been in a constitutional crisis since 2016 when the fiscal board was appointed and, you know, already put into question the capabilities of the local government. So I think for a lot of folks, this is just another chapter of that, you know, longer history of kind of governmental illegitimacy. But there's definitely a lot of uncertainty about who's going to be governor. And I think a lot of people feel also that they've been a little bit hoodwinked, because when Ricardo Rosselló stepped down, he had said, you know, it had been said that Wanda Vasquez was going to assume leadership. And it wasn't until about Wednesday that Pedro Pierluisi's name surfaced. And then suddenly Friday, he had been sworn in and was, you know, driving into the governor's mansion and started having meetings over the weekend. So I think a lot of people here are now, you know, they were caught off guard by this sudden take of power, and it's very uncertain what's going to happen next.
Michael, what is there are some concerns about Pierluisi outside of the sort of Senate hearing that are expected to happen today. Can you remind us what those are?
Sure. Two of them, I mean, to just name two of the more prominent ones, is that he had a role during when he was the resident commissioner in Washington, D.C., which is the name given to Puerto Rico's non-voting representative in the U.S. Congress, in the creation of the Fiscal Oversight Board, or as it's called in Puerto Rico, the Junta, which is a congressionally mandated board that basically oversees Puerto Rico's finances and was tasked with restructuring its debt, along with which came a lot of measures of austerity and things like that. That's one. And his law firm worked as an advocate for this board while Pierluisi was in the private sector. There's also his links with a company that was charged quite credibly, and its own studies showed that it poisoned the groundwater in Puerto Rico with toxic ash. So there's a lot of, reasons for people who maybe wanted to get rid and reorder the political system in Puerto Rico to be skeptical of Pierluisi. And I would say the manner of which he assumed power and his statements since taking office on Friday would probably not do anything to allay their fears or skepticism.
Yarimar, what are the Puerto Rican population on the island saying about the succession of Pierluisi so far? I mean, is he being perceived as just an interim potential governor who could, until there are actual elections, or is there concern that because he is also part of the pro-statehood party and was appointed by Rosselló, that he also should leave?
A lot of people are saying that he should also leave, and their protests have already began to ask for him to step down as well. You know, right after Ricardo Rosselló resigned, people had a long checklist of what they wanted, and it was clear that they did not want yet another politician who would have also, you know, possible conflicts of interest, these shady ties that, you know, Michael pointed to. And so I think what they really want is someone clean and with a clean track record to move, you know, Puerto Rico forward through not just this constitutional crisis, but also this democratic upsurge. Because I think, you know, a lot of people are now painting it as a crisis, but in many ways, it's been a kind of awakening and a not just a taking of power by the political crowd, now shown with Pierluisi, but also an assertion of power from protesters and demonstrators on the street who have found a political voice that they've never before had. So I think a lot of people here, what they want is to consolidate that moment and to keep moving that forward. And I've been participating in these small assemblies that have been taking place in towns outside of Puerto Rico, where people are coming together to reimagine what they want politics to look like and how they want to move this forward into a broader movement.
Michael, let's talk about the Senate is supposed to meet today. And we know that the head of the Senate, Thomas Rivera Schatz, has already filed an injunction against Pierluisi. What is expected to happen today?
Well, essentially, at 3 p.m., the Senate is, as far as I understand it, is supposed to have a debate and a vote, a vote that might be somewhat meaningless, given, you know, all the core challenges that are going on. But what I would say that's important, I think the popular sentiment in Puerto Rico is that, you know, the country already had what many think is a deficit of democracy, given its colonial relationship with the U.S. And now, in terms of being able to elect their own governor, even that last fig leaf has been removed, and someone who nobody voted for is running the island.
And if Pierluisi does not step down, Michael, or if he is not confirmed by the Senate, the expectation is that Wanda Vasquez will take over. Is that correct?
That is the constitutional line of succession. Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Well, we'll be standing by to find out what happens next. Bloomberg reporter Michael Dybert and Yarimar Bonilla, professor of Puerto Rican studies. We appreciate you both for being with us.
Thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks for having us.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.